The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you have looked with favor on your people and redeemed us. You have made us one in Christ Jesus. We give you thanks for your word. Reveal yourself to us in the preaching and hearing of your word given to us this day. Open our eyes to see the beauty of our differences. Open our ears to hear your Spirit speaking to us, and open our ears to listen to one another in love. Open our minds to understanding and our hearts to love. Help us to seek unity in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, the last Sunday of Easter. 6 weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. Within a week of that celebration, we celebrated the fact that all 11 of our congregations had resumed in-person worship. We did so cautiously, putting into place again practices that were developed to ensure the safety of all who came to worship with us. In the weeks that followed, we continued those ongoing discussions about singing and worship. We said final goodbyes to some of our members who joined the church triumphant, and we welcomed with great joy the newly baptized among us. Your pastors have been planning Bible studies, preparing you for Synod Assembly. We've resumed in-person visits to our homebound, and we've been meeting with families to plan weddings, first communions, confirmations, and baptisms for the summer. We have been living as the resurrected people in these weeks of Easter. Today, we celebrate and debate a new milestone in this ongoing COVID pandemic. The CDC has announced that those persons who are fully vaccinated do not need to wear masks in most indoor and outdoor spaces. Since I heard that announcement, I have seen a lot of debate about the topic. People have different opinions. I myself have struggled over the last days with this. How do we trust science and the Holy Spirit? Do I, as a fully vaccinated person, wear a mask in order to care for my sisters and brothers who are not yet vaccinated? What does it mean to live out the oneness of Christ in a context where divisions are real? There are so many ways that we divide ourselves. We define ourselves as Christians or non-Christians. We define ourselves as male, female, or LGBTQIA+. We define ourselves by our race. We define ourselves as baby boomers, millennials, Gen X's, and Gen Y's. We define ourselves as employed and unemployed, Democrat, Republican. citizen, or refugee. We are all different. That is how God created us. In Psalm 139, the psalmist writes, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, we are told, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Paul's argument to the Galatians and to us is this: the most basic part of who we are is that we are one in Christ Jesus, all of us descendants of Abraham and receivers of the fulfilled promises of God. He reminds us that our identity starts and ends with this: in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. What does it mean to live out the oneness of Christ in a context where divisions are real? The news this week has been filled with images of destruction in the Holy Land. People are dying, the latest casualties in this long-running war. God created both Palestinians and Israelis. One way we can live out oneness in Christ is to pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel and Palestine. In this time of political divide and awareness of injustices in our country, we can listen to those who have different opinions than our own, not to cast judgment, but to seek understanding. I think that we have demonstrated that we can live out the oneness of Christ in our Plum congregations. We're in a different situation from our sister churches that are not in a cooperative ministry. Over the past year, we have taken time to listen to each other, to make decisions that, to the best of our ability, allowed us to care for each other. And we continued to serve God and our communities in some new and creative ways. We have been invited to be in relationship with God and each other, and to give up our ideas of the right or normal way to do things. Perhaps this is a time to evaluate what matters most in life and in relationship to God. We are called to be good stewards of the Spirit and of our identity, first as children of God. What matters most? Having the most up-to-date cell phone and internet, or how much we give to ministries and charities? What matters most? The amount of time that you have to watch a favorite show or sporting event or pursue a favorite hobby? Or the time that is spent in prayer, worship, and ministry? If Paul were speaking to us today, perhaps he would remind us that our identity does not lie in the number of people on our membership roll, the amount of money people have given to church so far this year, the number of participants in our music, education, youth, or other programs, or the condition of our buildings. He would not call us to focus on any baseline or criteria that we would mistake for our own achievement. Membership, money, programs, and buildings are disposable means and not even necessary means to enduring ends. Paul would remind us, as he did the Galatians, that our identity starts and ends with this: in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Galatians 3:28 is a familiar verse. "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." It stands as an enduring eliminator of barriers and hierarchies that we erect among ourselves. When we use race, ethnicity, or status as an inherent reason to look down on others, when we think that some group among us deserves to be less free than another group, or when we think that anatomical, physiological, or genetic traits make some people deserving of more power, influence, or respect than others, this verse serves as a corrective for us. Being one in Christ is a beautiful gift of God, one of God's promises that endures from Abraham to today to the age to come. It takes effort and openness to God to allow the Spirit to work miracles among us, in us, and through us. May we be open to embrace the beautiful differences that God created in us. As unity in Christ emerges, distinctions in us fade away. May we be open to the Spirit sending us out before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by forgiveness of their sins. Amen.